So Matthew chapter 19, and I'm just going to read from 23 to the end of the chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter responded to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you. So what will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And I just want to highlight a couple of things from that a bit later on. The main one is probably the renewal of all things. I believe you and I are part of the all things. Is that okay? And so for me, I find this encouraging. We'll come back to that later. Let's sing once. Great. Thank you very much. Let's just pray as we come to God's word, shall we? Lord, we thank you. This word is life to us. We thank you that you are life to us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for illuminating and giving us this life along with the Son and the Father. Lord, we just thank you that this is your heart. This is your mission. And we thank you that we can receive this evening. So, Lord, I just pray that you would show us what you'd have us see and help us to put this into action, Lord. Just bless your word to us, we pray. Amen. One of the first words I'm sure we teach our children, or at least they learn, is amen. Or is it amen? So I think we need a quick poll of hands. Hands up for amen. There's a few. Hands up for amen. And there's some people that don't pray at all, so we'll get to you later. Possibly amen is slightly more Jewish sounding, but whatever. It means I agree. And no doubt you've said this a number of times today. And it can also seem like a throwaway word because of its familiarity and its commonality. It's actually a transliterated word, which means it's taken from the Hebrew language straight across into English. So we say it as the Hebrews, as the Jews would say it. And to say amen is to agree with what is said. The word is found throughout the Bible, but it's really in the Psalms that it becomes a sort of closing word. And the New Testament continues this theme. Jesus says amen or amen 99 times. But before we get into the topic further, I just want us to read this verse that's on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 to 22. So I'll refer to this a few times. If you want to find it in your Bibles, go ahead. If not, that's fine. Or if it's on your phone, do that. But it's a great couple verses, 2 Corinthians 1, 20 to 22. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Wonderful verses. Hopefully they're going to boost our faith this evening as we feed on them. And I kind of want to riff around this concept of saying amen to God and believing his promises. So we'll keep coming back to this anchor verse. But just a very quick analysis, kind of seems that it's Christ's job to fulfill God's promises. And it's our job to say amen to that work and thus glorify God in the world. And so there's this divine partnership, as there we always see in scripture, between God and us. And I want to try and provide some examples of that in the scriptures, of God fulfilling his promises and then people saying amen. And then hopefully we'll come to a close by grounding those promises in our lives as well. I love it that the work of the Holy Spirit is prominent in these verses. It says that it is God who makes our faith stand firm in Christ. Other scriptures tell us it's God who initiates faith. Here we're reminded in these verses it's God who strengthens, he establishes our faith, he sustains it. It's God who tones our faith muscles when we cooperate with him. And that's the thing. It doesn't mean that our faith is passive. It doesn't mean that God just zaps us and we're somehow mature or somehow, you know, strong. But we also see why we choose to let God establish our faith in these verses, because it says he's anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so with his spirit in our hearts, we want to, we choose to obey him because we want to, because we love to. And the spirit also acts as this reminder of all the promises to come that we are to receive. Let's get back to amen and what it believes. The Lexham Bible Dictionary states, amen is a Hebrew word that has served as a declaration of affirmation and as a closing exclamation of agreement to a doxology or prayer in Christian worship. So amen is a declaration of affirmation. We're saying we agree with whatever statement it was. Psalm 89:52 says, praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. So the psalmist agreed with the statement, praise be to the Lord forever. And he positively supported that statement, that the Lord deserves to be praised forever. But it's also an exclamation of agreement in prayer, and not just in prayer, but also in worship as well. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the word also means, the word amen also means truly or verily. And partly that's why I read that scripture earlier, and I'll come back to that. But amen can be equated with steadiness or trustworthiness or faithfulness or truth. And this is how Jesus uses the word. So in Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to read a little story there. It's probably familiar to you, but we're going to go there anyway. Matthew chapter 8, 5 to 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So we're going to riff around this amen concept. So the centurion shows faith in Jesus. And then Jesus actually says amen to his faith. Because Jesus says, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in these parts with faith like this. So he says amen to his faith. Are you with me? And Jesus is saying, you can trust me when I say I've not found faith anywhere. So he's saying this is a statement of trustworthiness. You can believe in what I'm saying, that nowhere have I seen faith like this in Israel. And the word amen is related to other Hebrew words which can be translated faithfulness, trustworthiness. So Jesus is saying this is truth. I haven't found anyone with faith like this. And then he says to the centurion, let it be done. So when we're saying amen, we're saying, let it be done. You know, let it be, as you've said. We're agreeing positively. This is this affirmation So, you know, saying amen at the end of a prayer isn't just like a polite kind of full stop thing that we do. This is us saying, let it be, you know, let it come, let your kingdom manifest itself. Our amens are powerful. They're not just words that we say. Author Chad Bird says, amen has the same root word that the Hebrew word for believe has. So in other words, to believe is to amen. So it's the quintessential word of faith. In Hebrew, the root word has to do with being firm and reliable and constant. In other words, it's trustworthy. So if we go back to 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So what we're saying is through Christ, the reliability of God's promises is spoken by us. We affirm those promises are true. And we support the truth of those promises. And we add our belief to the work that Christ has done. And we do so for the glory of God, because in no way can we bring about the promises of God on our own, in our own lives. All we can do is just say yes to the promise. We can just add our belief to the promise. Remember those two words, the root words are the same. So Hebrew, amen, is related to believe. So we're adding our belief. We're adding our faith to the God's promises. And it's at this point, I want to remind you of the impossibility of God's promises. Our faith is built on so many impossibilities. Actually, this should encourage us, not discourage us. So I've got three examples. First is in Genesis 12. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'm going to flick around a little bit. God promises to bless the whole world through, or every family of the world through Abraham's family. It's a pretty big, outrageous promise. Even more so when you consider that Abraham already had a huge family of him and Sarai, two people. And Abraham was 75 years old when God first spoke to him. His wife was 10 years younger. And we could ask, does God really know what he's doing? You know, he's chosen the unlikeliest of people to bring about this incredible, outrageous promise to bless every family on earth through them. This guy has married his half-sister. He worships idols. She's barren. You know, this is not the ideal couple that you or I would pick. But because Abraham believes God, he obeys him. And it says in Genesis 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So in other words, Abraham said amen to the promise of God. He believed the Lord, same root word as amen. He said amen to the Lord, who credited it to him as righteousness. So Abraham was saying, God, you are reliable. I believe in you. And he stood firm. He trusted. He was certain that God would give him offspring as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. He didn't understand how. So this is the impossibility thing coming in. But the obstacle didn't matter, because God. And we know the story. He's actually into his 80s and Sarah into her 60s. And age is no barrier to receiving the promises of God, as this story proves. And yet Genesis 15 says he believed the Lord. He amened the Lord's promises. Paul is rather blunt in Romans chapter 4. And he says Abraham was so old that he was as good as dead. Bit of an insult. Apologies if I'm not saying that, by the way. I'm just reading what Paul said. So any problems, talk to him. Nevertheless, Paul says he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So despite all appearances, despite the facts on the ground, Abraham said amen to God's seemingly impossible word. And we do that today. We say amen to God's promises. From a man as good as dead and a woman's dead womb, God brought forth a promised son called Isaac, and he made a way where there is no way. And you and I are only children of Abraham because Abraham had children. So we inherit this, the impossibility of faith. Our faith is built on these layers of impossibility. And that's why it's faith. I'm not saying there's no reasons, rational reasons, that we have to believe in God, that I think there are, especially around the resurrection. But faith is, by definition, it's a supernatural gift that we are given and that we operate in. So Abraham says resounding amen to God's promise. And do you remember what the angel asks Abraham when Sarah laughs at the promise? He says, is anything impossible for the Lord? So to believe is to amen. To amen is to believe. Let's take another example, this time from the New Testament, Luke chapter 1. Perhaps some of you might have an idea of where I'm going now. Verse 35, we're going to talk about Mary. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And then what does the angel say? For no word of God will ever fail. And then, actually it's later on, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Other translations say, for nothing will be impossible with God. So we've got another miracle that our faith is based on. Also that last bit, the ESV says, Mary says, let it be to me according to your word. That sounds just like Jesus to the centurion. This is like her, she is amening the promise of God that she's just received. Is equally impossible to the promise Abraham received. In fact, actually it's more impossible, because at least Abraham had a wife and that could happen naturally. Mary wasn't even married and she was a virgin, and yet God said through her, God is going to bless every family in the world through her and through the child that she would bear. And so our faith is entirely built on human impossibilities. There's no way that Mary had of fulfilling God's promise to her. At least Abraham and Sarah could bring Hagar into the equation and try and make that happen. It didn't work, by the way, but there's absolutely nothing that Mary can do to bring about this promise of God. All she does is she says amen to the promise. And you and I would not be here without Mary's amen. So God makes the promises, we say amen. And by saying amen, we're saying we believe. We're saying let it be according to your word. One more example for you, and it doesn't get any more blockbuster than Jesus himself. Scripture twice calls Jesus the Amen of God. I think it's twice. In Revelation 3:4, we get one of those times. Jesus calls himself the Amen. He says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So Jesus is the Amen of the Father. He is the faithful and true witness to who the Father was. In Jesus, we see who the Father is. And of course, we see in Jesus compassion. We see incredible love. We see incredible grace. And so we know that our Father in heaven is full of those things for us as well. We see Jesus healing. We see him putting wrong things right. We see demonic fleeing. We see all these things. We see him reigning. We see in Jesus the Father. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the Amen of God. And if amen is a declaration of affirmation, then Jesus was the affirmation of God's love for us. In fact, scripture says he is the exact imprint of God's nature. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. It says in Hebrews, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You could even say Jesus Christ is perfect theology. But if amening is also believing, and the two words share the same root, as I keep saying, that then Jesus believed in the mission his Father gave him. He amened the mission. He was obedient because he believed, just like Abraham, his descendant, was. And Jesus even amened unto death. Let it be, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, fully convinced that out of the anguish of his soul he would see and be satisfied. Hebrews would tell us, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, if you and I were to organize a new religion, one that we would hope would cover the face of the earth and, you know, survive against all the odds, we would not have our hero, our king, the God we worship, we wouldn't have him die on a cross. You know, a shameful, tortured death. And so, once again, we see that our faith is built upon human impossibilities. This shouldn't work. God's plan for salvation should not have worked. It's kind of against the odds. It's like nothing's going to work here. But Jesus obeyed and said amen to the Father's will. And just like God called new life from a dead womb, he brought forth his own dead son from a tomb of death into his glorious resurrection. And to that triumph over death, we can say amen. Hopefully, we can stand firm in the supernatural promise of God. There's no way that we can save ourselves. In the scripture we read earlier, that's what the disciples said. They said, who, Lord, can be saved? This is impossible. Like, if it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, how's this going to happen? And Jesus repeats the words that the angel says to Sarah, that the angel says to Mary, and he says, with God, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so our faith is counted to us as righteousness, not because we've done anything, but because God in Christ has done it all for us. And in that passage we looked at earlier in Matthew 19, Jesus says, truly I tell you, he says, amen, I tell you. So I want you to start noticing this as you read the scriptures. And then again, a few verses later, he says, truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, and he goes on, but he's saying, amen, I tell you. It's all through scriptures. Jesus is saying, this is truth. And I love that he says, truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things. Like, there's a renewal that's coming. And I'm one of the all things. I don't know about you, but I'm included in the all things. I'm convinced. And so he's promised to renew us. He's promised to renew you. And this is where the promises of God can become grounded in our lives. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he's done. Because with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so I want us to think about the promises that God has given to you. He's given to me the things he's promised you. Maybe there's relationships that he's promised to restore. Maybe there's finances he's promised to restore. Maybe there's other stuff. There's health, or, you know, whatever the enemy's taken from you. Jesus is talking about the renewal of all things. And I'm up for that. I don't know about you. So there's promises that God has given to us. And we've got to say amen to those promises. And we are powerless, completely powerless, to fulfill them very often. When we try, we end up like with a Hagar and Ishmael situation. But all we do is we stand on the promise and we say amen to the promise and amen to God. I don't know if you've ever noticed when it is that Adam names his wife Eve. Has anyone noticed when that happens? Anyone hazard a guess? Okay, I'll tell you. It's Genesis 3:20. It's actually as they're leaving paradise. So the bags are packed, suitcases are ready. And in Genesis 3:20, it says the man named his wife Eve because she is the mother of all the living. So he names Eve after he sinned, which, by the way, means that he was married to someone he didn't know the name of. So God was like, Adam, do you take to be your wife? And he's like, oh, I do take to be my wife. Crazy, isn't it? But it says he names his wife Eve because she's the mother of all living. So whilst they're still trembling, whilst they're still naked and ashamed and considering the enormity of what they've done in bringing sin into the world, they hear God promise them a descendant who's going to crush the head of the serpent and who's just deceived them. And so in the midst of death, God has just promised Adam and Eve life. And so Adam calls his wife life, essentially. And God does this today. In the middle of death, he still brings us his promise of life. And it looks impossible. It looked impossible back then. It looks impossible today. But we know that nothing is impossible with God. We know that every promise he has made, it says in that verse up there, every promise he has made is yes in Christ. He will fulfill what he said he will do. Our job is not to manufacture the promise. Our job is to simply, loudly, boldly live out our amen to him. And so Jesus, the amen of God, who himself said amen to God's promises, now gives us the opportunity to give our amen to the one who is called the amen of God. We get to see in our lives the impossible promises of God made flesh. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It's through him. We don't do it ourselves, but it's through him that the amen is spoken by us for his glory. And then it carries on. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed you, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, a lot of people might say, hey, what God's promised you, that is utterly impossible. Which is why verse 21 is so beautiful. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. And what you have now in Christ guarantees what you will receive, because his spirit is that deposit, which is so wonderful. So we get to see what we have now is further proof of what we will have, that the renewal of all things is coming. God started with us. He starts with our hearts, our souls. He's renewing us and remaking us, and that the rest of creation is going to follow. He's renewing things that have been lost to the enemy, to that snake in the garden. And so, as I said, we get to see God's promises dwell among us, just as God's amen dwelt among us. And it's not enough for me to see, you know, the other side of the world, the church is growing and they're seeing miracles and revivals. God's promised that here. And so we're going to see that here. And I believe every generation has to learn to say amen to the promises. Not enough to rest on what's happened previously. He's promised more of his spirit. What has God promised to you? He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. He promises to provide for our every need. But what does he promise you? Because whatever it is, we can say amen to that. We can say we believe. We will trust you, Lord, despite the odds. And the odds don't matter. The odds are irrelevant because our faith is built on these layers of impossibilities. So what is one more for God to overcome and to fulfill in Christ? Let's spend our lives giving him our amen, shall we? Let's pray and then we'll sing our final hymn. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've done everything that could possibly be needed to be done to secure our salvation, to fulfill the word of God. Thank you that every family on earth will be blessed through Abraham's faith, through Mary's faith. And Lord, we join them in saying amen to your promises. Lord, there are things that you've given us. There are things that you've shown us. There are desires in our hearts which you'd love us to give our amen to. And I just pray that in Christ we would see those things come to be. We thank you, Lord, for the impossibility of it. But we thank you that we are guaranteed to see every promise of God in Christ fulfilled. Every promise is yes and amen. So, Lord, just stir our faith, Father, for those that are weary of believing, Lord, just show them again, convince them again, encourage them, Lord, blow on those embers of faith in their heart, Lord, for people that have had discouragements in these areas, Father, may you bring your encouragement. Holy Spirit, just move in our hearts and speak to us again, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a great song that talks about those promises. So we're going to sing with gusto and joy, number 932, Standing on the Promises. Thank you, Jude. Let's stand and sing.